certainly was blessed so far in our worship service, our Sunday school hour, with proper motives. And I thought the song leader tied it together well when we sang the song, "Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God." And it kind of fits right in with where I'm planning to go this morning, where I felt led to go. And we heard the question, we often hear the question, and I have probably said it many times from this area, what does Jesus see? Sorry, let me back up. Does the world see Jesus when they look at you? And then ponder another question, what does Jesus see when he looks at you? And I'd probably ask that question to you, ask you that question before myself. But what does he see when he looks at you? You know, this morning, as I look out across here, what I see is smiling faces, well-dressed folk, and I see outward appearance. We say, create in me a clean heart. Obviously, I know we all have one, but I don't see that. But what does Jesus see when he looks at you? Jesus sees what I see right now, but he sees so much more. So much more. When Samuel went to Bethlehem, he was told to go there to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the king. And Jesse had a number of sons, and the first one comes walking by, and Samuel said this, said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." And the Lord didn't scold him, but the Lord said this, said, "Samuel, he said, look not on his countenance. Look not at the height of his stature." I imagine this man being strong, just a man that Samuel said, that's the man that we want. And the Lord said, "Don't look there," he said, "because I have refused him." The reason is not given. And then the Lord said, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man," this morning I, "for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord looks past what I am looking at and looks at the heart. Not the shape and size, but the condition of it. Just pause for a second and think about our heart. Amazing organ pumps oxygen and blood throughout the body to sustain life. They say about fist size, and it beats, which basically it expands and contracts. My study says 100,000 times a day, and pumps 5 to 6 quarts of blood every minute, and we're looking at 2,000 gallons a day. That's what the heart does, day in and day out. But the Lord is not necessarily looking at our heart condition in that way, although he does care about us, but he's looking at the spiritual condition of our heart. Again, past the outward appearance to what really makes a difference, and that is the heart. He knows all about us, and he can see everything. I mean, that has been mentioned before, but I think it's worth repeating. He sees everything about us. A little illustration. Again, forgive me if you heard this before. We were living in Grenada. There were times we would say we're living in a glass house, because people could see when we left, people could see when we come home, people could see what we were doing almost all of the time. This week, I talked to a teacher, and his comment was that he thinks he's living in a glass house too, but then he added his doesn't even have a basement. In other words, there is no place for him to go. Students just watching him, every word he says, every move he makes. But it's kind of the same way with God. God knows everything about us, and we can't hide nothing from us. We're living in a glass house. Psalm 44:21 says God knows the secrets of the heart. And we touched on it briefly in our Sunday school lesson this morning, on proper motives. God knows the motive. He knew the motives of the men that Jesus was referring to there in our Sunday school lesson. When we think of a secret, we think of something that nobody else is thinking about. But when it comes to our spiritual lives, God knows everything. God is not impressed with outward appearance. And also, we can read, God is not deceived. You know, if we can put a mask on and try to be somebody else, but he looks right past that and he knows who we are. God always sees the real you, which I can't see this morning. For an example, turn to Matthew 23. We're looking at a few words from Jesus here about two men who were not what they appeared to be. Matthew 23. I'm going to jump in at verse 25. This chapter's 39 verses long, but let's look at verse 25 because we're focusing on zeroing in on that people were not what they were appeared to be. Verse 25, Jesus speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." And here's what he's saying about that. He said, "You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess." Jesus is saying, guys, you are like cups and platters, washed and clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. And these men, they were concerned about the outside because what others saw when they looked at them, but they didn't really weren't concerned about the inside. Publicly, they walked uprightly. People saw them. Oh, there goes a scribe. There goes a Pharisee. These are the good men. Here they go. But the public thought what they wanted them to think, while their main concern they were not concerned about, and that was what God saw. The inside of their cup, or them at this point, was still dirty. But they paid little attention to that because no one could see it. And Jesus described them as full of extortion and excess, greed, selfishness. They were all about it for personal gain. Then he gives a remedy for their problem in verse 26. He says, "Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may appear clean also." If they were clean the inside first, the outside would appear clean as well. And the title of the message this morning is "From the Inside Out." And that's why when Zach led that song, it just kind of touched exactly what we were looking at. Create in me a clean heart. And if our heart is clean, what we appear to be will be clean as well. If our inner spirit is clean, our outward behavior will reflect what is truly within. Here we see the cup and platter cleaning needed to be changed to complete heart cleansing. Start with the heart, and then if you have a clean heart, you also have a clean life. And Christ teaches that from the inside, a man determines his behavior. What is inside is what will come out from the inside out. It is the heart that determines who a man is and what he does. In the beginning of this chapter, Jesus started by speaking to the multitudes. You get down to verse 13, he starts talking to the Pharisees and pronounces woe upon them for a number of verses. And then if you go to verse 27, here we have another illustration he uses. He likens them to whited sepulchres. He said to the scribes and Pharisees, "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but inward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness." Sepulchres, we're told, were often whitewashed so they could be distinctly seen. And when they were whited, they appeared beautiful and clean, but nonetheless, still within, they contain the bones and corrupting bodies of the dead. And what Jesus was using that illustration in a reference to the Pharisees. Outwardly, they appeared well, but their hearts were full of hypocrisy, envy, pride, lust, malice, and just fitly represented by the corruption within a whited tomb. While they appeared to be good on the outside, their inside was a different story. Verse 28, "Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And that's why I asked the question, what does Jesus see when he looks at you? These publicans and Pharisees and scribes, they look good, but Jesus publicly uncovered their hidden secrets. You know, outward, you, me, outward we may appear, but inside we are. Outward is what you see me this morning, I see you, this is what we appear to be, but within is what we are. What does Jesus see when he looks at you? I was inspired to bring this message, and maybe the illustration doesn't fit, but I was inspired to bring this because of some of our fence posts that we have at our house. We have a few acres fenced in for some cattle. And from time to time, I like to check my posts to make sure that they're still strong and sturdy, and they'll keep the cattle in. Different times I'll drive and check my fence staples and make sure everything's all good. And recently, some have started to show signs of they need to be replaced. And what I would do, get a couple, then when I have time, head out, and I'd grab a post, and I'd shake it just to see if it's good. I drive along in a golf cart and check this one and check that one until I come to one. But then you get a little closer examining, and you grab one and you shake it. And many times I heard a cracking at ground level, and I knew right away that I need to get busy. But many of them posts appeared good when you look at them. And as I was preparing this message throughout the last week or so, my plan was that Saturday, I'm going to head out, and there's a fence post that I have that I want to cut the top off of and bring in and use as illustration. So yesterday afternoon, headed out, there's my post, fired my chainsaw up, and started cutting through, and the pieces started flying. This is the biggest piece that was left when I started cutting my post off. This post here was about this big around, and I knew the center was hollow. But I thought, I want this post. So really carefully, my chain was sharp, but I started cutting, and the pieces flew. And this is what is left. So if you can picture that the whole way out around, you would agree that from the outside, this one here didn't look too bad. However, you put a little bit of pressure to this one, and this thing just comes all apart. So I'll clean that up. So after I had cut it off once, I thought, I still want this for an illustration. And this post is still in use. It's what I need to replace, obviously. But my fence wire was still down a couple inches. So I thought, I'll try this again. It got to be getting better. And so I cut again, and the same thing happened. Looking good from the outside, but the inside was just, you understand. And it's kind of like if you look, so I had to go to a tree. If you look at that, from what you can see, it doesn't look bad. And Jesus saw these scribes, what the people saw, but the scribes and Pharisees, was the outside. Jesus revealed to them what was truly within. We had some of my posts, the corner ones, I don't like to replace because a lot of extra work involved. You got to loosen up the wires and then take them out. There's a lot more work involved that I'd rather not replace them. But one time a tree fell down, and it was part of this tree right here, and broke the corner post off. And so it was one of the children, and my wife said, you know, your fence is down, and I didn't even know it. The cattle, fortunately, didn't get out. But the post looked good. It was not one I was intending to replace. And later, I had to replace that and then cut this up. But Jesus saw this in the scribes and Pharisees, when the people that they were walking around with in town saw the good part of them. And that's why the question I have is, what does Jesus see when he looks at you? The problem with a lot of my fence posts, and I still have a number to replace, is that they are simply rotted, decayed after being in the ground for many years. By the overall appearance, like I said, well, this one here, if you would drive by, this one's close to the road, it doesn't look bad. But even after cutting down about 4 inches, you could go in there and just start, the middle is just all rotten. You can just dig it out. And what does Jesus see when he looks at you? Some of the posts that I replaced, I dug out, and some I just broke off and dug a new hole beside it. But the broken ones, what were they good for? Headed to the trash pile, and later some smoke and fire, and they are gone. The posts that we purchased to replace them, we get them down there close to Blue Lake, and they were used once. The farmer had them and then must have decided to take the fence down, so they are good. One time I told the boys, go down and get about 10. Then they come back, and I was impressed with their selection because there's a huge pile there. One was nice and round and really long, and I thought, I had plans for him. Sometimes you want a corner post, a brace, this is good. And then I picked it up, and well, this thing sounds kind of strange, and here it was hollow. Appeared good, and it was hollow. What did I do with it? Take it back? Nah, I took it directly to the burn pile. You know, what does God see in you and in us? And the point of this message is not that I'm thinking that God sees this. And this is just a brief introduction to what Christ does not want to see. Now we want to look at what he does want to see. What does he want to see? And I don't see this either, but what does God want to see when he looks at us? But we're going to go stick with the illustration of the fence post, about illustration of replacing the fence post, and look at a few steps of being a solid child for the Lord. And the first step when placing the fence post is you need to dig a hole nice and deep in order so those posts can stand strong. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we're looking here at the first point is properly rooted and grounded in Christ. Look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto God, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto whom the whole family in heaven is named, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, here we have it, to be strengthened by his might, by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Here we see Paul's prayer for the church and God's purpose for each and every Christian believer. This is God's will for you and I. This is what God expects to and wants to see when he looks at us. Verse 16, that you would be strengthened, spiritually strong, and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Strengthened would be to be strong, obviously tough, enduring with energy, and able to resist temptation. Like I said, I tempted my posts, if you can put it that way, and grabbed them. Some resisted and some are still there. Some I grabbed and it broke off. We're unable to resist. And this is not referring to physical strength, but spiritually strong. Them posts I'm talking about, we're talking about just dead strength. We are to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to begin by dropping a hollow post in a hole and expect it to stand. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. Are you able to stand the test of time? Paul's prayer continues in verse 17. Christ needs to dwell in our hearts if we are going to stand strong. Now, in verse 17, we enter the throne room of our hearts. And here we need to find Christ seated on the throne, ruling and reigning in our hearts. A permanent dwelling place. Christ needs to be there. He needs to take up a permanent, not a temporary residence, and be at home within our hearts. And when Christ is at home in our hearts, we will be rooted and grounded in his love. When Christ is ruling and reigning in our hearts, we will be motivated to live a life that pleases him. The songwriter said, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking, sinking sand. Are we, you, am I, rooted and grounded in Christ with our feet firmly planted on him? Many of my posts, back to my posts, were rotted because water got inside and continued to seep in, breaking down the structural integrity of that post, leading to decay, soft wood, and rot. Use that as an illustration for spiritual eyes. If we plant our feet on unsettled ground and we allow sin into our lives, the same thing is going to begin to happen. First of all, we overlook a small sin, let a little in. Then it begins to break down our resistance. We remove Christ from the throne room of our lives. Soon we become soft and unstable and on a road to spiritual destruction. But God, Paul's prayer here is that we would be strengthened and growing stronger and stronger every day. A properly planted fence post will not grow, unlike our spiritual lives. We have Christ within. We need to grow. The Christian life is a life of continual growth. It's not you become a Christian and you stay and remain there. It's continually growing more and more like him each and every day. 2 Peter 3:8, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that our desire that we continue to grow and become solid in Jesus Christ? Step number one is rooted and grounded and growing. I trust that's where you are at this morning. Unlike this tree and that post, they're gone. But But if there are hollow spots in our hearts and in our lives, and we remove them and be filled with the Spirit, we can correct this problem in our lives. Is it our desire to be strong in the Lord? Step number two, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we walk through my post-planting days, the hole is dug, I drop the post in, and the hole obviously dig a little bit bigger. Now the next step is tamping dirt around the post to make it solid and firm. So you put a little bit of dirt in, take a digging iron, tamp out around it, throw some more dirt in, continue tamping, make sure it's level as you can for leveling the round post. Until you come to the top, properly tamped post is nice and firm. What about our spiritual lives? We need to be steadfast and unmovable. Look over at 1 Corinthians 15. We're not going to read all these, but verses 50 to 56, we are reminded and we see here that a radical change is going to take place if we're going to live eternally. Verse 52, we shall all be changed. Verse 57, we see victory over death is promised. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, because of the change that's going to take place, because that we have victory over death, because we can look forward to the eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, here we have it, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Folks, we need to be steadfast, which is defined as firm, fixed, determined, and faithful. We need to be determined in our Christian life. Just as water entered into the cracks of the post, so the evil one will try to force his way into our lives. But here we see how we need to counteract. Never, never give in. Steadfast. We know in whom we have believed. And this step here requires a knowledge of God's word. Are we taking time to read and study? Do we know the truth? Do we know what we stand for? And do we believe it? Do we refuse to bend and refuse to give in to false doctrine? Jesus said in John 5:39, he says, search the scriptures. Are we faithful? I guess my heart's desire, and just, there is so much evil in our communities today. And what I want is that we could be the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be. And just using the fence post as an illustration, you know, when storms of life grab you and shake you, how do you fare? Are we being firm and determined in our spiritual lives? You know, like when we set our mind to complete a task, what about, are we determined to not do anything else that is done? Are we determined that in our spiritual lives? You know, I will be faithful. We're required to stand fast and have our beliefs fixed on the Lord, determined to live for the Lord and carry out his purpose to the end. Faithful to the end. Luke 18:8, Jesus asked the question, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And that verse there has often motivated me just to remain faithful. But I often wonder why the question was asked. Why did Jesus ask that? Because I like to say, well, of course it's going to be a faithful people here. But he knew what we're going to be facing. I believe he did. I know he did. And so he gives us some key points in Scripture to help us remain faithful, steadfast, not wavering, firmly planted, well tamped, that we're going to stand strong. Storms of life come, we're not going to bend and give in, but be faithful till the Lord calls us home. The second one he sees here is we are to be unmovable. Another action on our part, unyielding, unshaken, and undisturbed. When storms of life how do we fare? Are we like that properly tamped fence post, just standing strong and firm? But no, so much better. Strong and standing firm with our feet upon a solid rock in our beliefs and our service to the Lord. A hollow post will not stand the test. They're easily broken off and tossed away. But let nothing shake our faith. Let nothing move you away from the hope of the gospel which was given unto you. Folks, focus on eternity and remain faithful until you're in the presence of the Lord. we can't allow sin to seep in and cause us to decay, as I was referring to, but be filled with the Spirit, with Christ on the throne room, and be solid for Him. So how are we going to prepare and work on being unmovable? I think we need to remember that what we feed in our lives will grow. And what we starve will die. For example, you have two cages and two birds, and you feed one and you starve the other. The one you feed will continue to sing away and chirp, and the one that you starve will eventually will die. Now take that illustration and go into if there is either sin in our lives or anything that is hindering our walk with the Lord. Is there something that is hindering your walk with the Lord? You need to starve it. You need to quit whatever that may be. If there is something, you know what I'm talking about, and feed upon the Word of God. If Christ is dwelling within us, we need to just grow more and more and give our energy to Him. At the same time, starve what is hindering our walk with the Lord. Well, I can't seem to overcome it. Are you starving it? I can't have victory. Are you starving it? I struggle daily, and not making light of it, but we need to starve the sin or what is hindering our walk and feed on the good. In a couple minutes here, after a while, we'll be headed home for lunch, and I guarantee you we're not going to head for the garbage for lunch, because that's the trash. It's prepared, and I hope it's going to be, and we'll partake. We need to starve the bad and feed on the good. Sin will hollow out our lives and cause us to become unstable. But when Jesus is on the throne room of our hearts, He is the key that we need to be rooted and grounded and unmovable in life. Turn to Hebrews 10 for the third point. After the hole is dug and the fence post is planted and properly tamped, the final thing for me to do is to put the staples back in to hold the wire fast. The first thing I do when I pick out the post after it's checking is pull out the staples. Most times you take a tool and they easily come right out. You know, they're cracked, they're hollow, they're rotted, the post is, and the staples, there's no resistance there. They easily come out. But when it goes to putting these staples back in, these posts, although I told you they were used, they cause some frustration. I have the staples I use are about 1 3/4 inches, and I start pounding these things in, they go in a little bit and they'd bend. So after tossing a number of staples away, I finally decided, you know, this isn't going to work. So I headed for the drill, got me a bit, and I just pre-drill a hole in part way so I can drive my staples in. And I was just thinking about that, how the Lord wants us to be that solid that nothing's going to penetrate us. Water penetrated my posts, and a lot of them are junk. But what about in our spiritual lives as far as allowing stuff to penetrate our lives? The integrity of the post was better than the integrity of that metal staple. Maybe it was a soft metal, I'm not sure. But look at Hebrews 10. I'll read a few verses. Start at verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. That is all set in place. Because of that, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he that is faithful has promised, and let us consider one another provoke unto love and to good works. The staples in the rotted posts, I said, easily were removed, and the new ones hardly went back in. But once I pre-drilled a hole and got them in, they were in to stay for a long time. We need to hold fast. There are two let us in these verses. One was draw near. We need to draw near to God with a true heart, and that would be free from rot and decay, but draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Remember, we started back there with our whole, we're rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, and we're standing strong and firm, full assurance of faith, and our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies are washed with pure water. That has been taken care of. Now, folks, we need to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Our duty is listed, hold, hang on to what we have, to what our profession of faith, our belief in Jesus Christ. To waver, it says without wavering, to waver is to doubt. We're not going to doubt, but we're going to hold fast to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. Jesus Christ did die for you and for I, and he rose victorious. And today he's seated at the right hand of God, pleading and interceding for you and for I. Holding fast here will keep us from listening to voices of doubt and false teaching. Holding fast will not let circumstances or trials and temptations shake our faith in Christ, because we are going to hold fast. Over the years, some of my staples come out part way. I go along, some of them tap them in. Well, you know, it's a temporary fix like a Band-Aid, but we need to hold fast. We need to be solid in our faith in Jesus Christ. We are called to be solid Christians. Are you solid this morning? Unlike this here, we know what a solid post looks like, completely solid and firm. Are we able to shake off the darts of the wicked one? And solid like a fence post, but even more, standing firm and solid with Jesus as our King. Galatians 5:1, more on standing fast, holding fast, standing strong. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Recognize that we have been freed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul writing to the Galatian church, they had been in bondage. They were set free. They were telling them to stand fast. We all have been there. Now we're one. My call, my desire is that we could stand fast in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Listen to Hebrews 3:6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We are one with Christ if we hold fast that hope that we have in Jesus Christ and remain faithful unto the end. I repeat, faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. 1 Peter 5:8, we're called to be vigilant, on guard, and be aware of our surroundings. When we consider this, the fence post, and compare the integrity of the post with our spiritual lives, what I see, it is God's desire that we would be rooted, that we would be grounded, that we would be steadfast, that we would be unmovable and solid in our Christian lives, with our lives based upon the Word of God. You know, sometimes we sing, I want us to be together in heaven, and I desire that reunion with my whole heart. But more importantly, what we saw is the will of God for His children, that we're solid people walking through life while living in an unstable community, wherever we are at. Also, God has equipped us with the equipment that is needed to dodge, avoid, and overcome the traps that we're going to face in life, so that we can draw near to Him with a true heart, as we've seen there in Hebrews 10. With our hearts, our true heart, with full assurance of faith. Outward, again, backing up, outward we may appear, but inside we are. This tree is gone, what's cut down. No integrity, nothing left. Outward, it appears, but inward, it is what we are. From the inside out, oh, that God would cleanse us from within so that we may appear pure in the eyes of God and ready to meet him and dwell with him in glory. I repeat, this tree we cannot no longer fix. This one's gone. But if our hearts and our lives have hollow spots, we can starve the hollow spot and fill it with the love of God. Put Christ in the throne room. Let him rule and reign and dwell in our hearts. Be filled with the Spirit and be solid Christians for the Lord. Psalm 1 says, blessed, familiar verses, three of them. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This man who does not walk, sit, or stand in evil is blessed. Number two, his delight. Here we see a remedy, a key. He needs to dwell, delight in the law of the Lord, and meditate on his law, on the Lord's law day and night. Number one, are we avoiding the ungodly? Are we avoiding the way of the sinners? Not saying not reaching out, I'm saying not walking with. And are we avoiding to see the scornful? And do we delight in the law of the Lord? Are we meditating therein day and night? And when that happens, the opposite of this takes place. Notice verse 3. He shall be like a tree. It does not say a hollow tree, one that is dead. It says, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, plenty of moisture and growing, that bringeth forth fruit in his season, producing fruit. His leaf also shall not wither. These leaves withered and died. Leaf on these tree, but his leaf is not going to do that. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Beautiful picture when we are the people that God wants us to be, but we got to start from the inside out. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning. I just say thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray for this body, this congregation here this morning, this body of believers, Lord, that we can be solid Christians for you. You can, as you look at us, Lord, you do not see the hollow spots in our lives, but you see us solid for you, not decaying, but rooted and grounded and steadfast and unmovable in what we believe. Lord, society around us has their direction, and the evil one wants to seep into our lives and cause us to decay. Help us, Lord, to stand firm. Lord, on Christ, we want to stand, recognizing all the ground is sinking sand. And I pray that each one of us can have the desire to be like that tree in Psalm 1, that we can be producing fruit for your honor, Lord. Bless each one here this morning, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we could just go forth from this day with a desire to grow, to be more and more like you. Cleanse us from the inside out, Lord, and create within me a clean heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Song, please.